today. Oprah and 378 Harpo staffers go vegan for 1 week.
No meat, no milk, no animal, anything.
You lost 11 pounds?
Then
Lisa Ling goes inside a beef processing plant.
We are committed to doing it right.
Whether you eat meat or not, you need to see it.
And
superstar expert Michael Pollan.
How much meat do you think we should be eating?
Vegan trailblazer Kathy Preston. This is worth thinking about.
Next.
Week here at Harpo Studios. For the show today, we turn the tables on all of ourselves, and there are a lot of us here, with a radical experiment, and it's caused quite a stir. Some of my staff say they've never felt better, and some of them are downright cranky. Our lunch lines have never been longer, literally, people coming out the doors for the lunch line, and the bathrooms have never been busier. And everybody wants to talk about it. So what do we do? Take a look. Take a look.
Last week, we gave our Harpo staff the ultimate food challenge. Go vegan for an entire week. That means no meat, no fish, no milk, no eggs or cheese. Nothing that comes from an animal for 7 full days. New York Times bestselling author Kathy Preston led that charge. She has sworn by a vegan lifestyle now for 7 years. Kathy says eating a plant-based, whole food, kind diet can be a game changer in your life.
Let me just start off right away with assuring you, you are not going to starve. You're going to have amazingly delicious food.
To our surprise, 378 staffers signed up, some more eager than others.
I'm not going to make it. I don't really think I'm going to make it.
I truthfully am not a conscious eater. Like, I don't think of the cow when I'm doing it.
I'm an egg girl. I like to have my eggs every day, but I'm going to try.
To help Harpo ease into our new way of eating, Kashi and Whole Foods gave everyone a few bags of healthy vegan groceries. Even our Harpo Cafe added vegan entrees to the menu. Tacos, Thai, pizza, and burgers, all 100% animal-free.
Black bean with the multigrain.
I usually eat a sausage muffin every day and a huge coffee with 5 creams and a little ice. So today I decided not to do that. I thought, okay, I'm going to start the day right. We're going to try this whole vegan thing.
I think
that's
I could perfect. Be vegan. I'm so excited. 2 or 3 days a week easily.
It was a hit. The line was longer than ever. Some people waited 45 minutes just to get lunch.
I'm going to try to do the whole week. I'm going to really try to do that as hard as I can. That's not going to be easy.
You put tater tots with anything and it's going to be good.
Wow. So we'll find out how our first ever vegan challenge turned out a little later. But first, Michael Pollan is back. He is a rock star in the food world. There's nobody who gets us thinking. Hi, rock star in the food world. Nobody gets us thinking more about what we eat. He's a best-selling author. And last year, he was named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in the world because of the way you make us think about food and food rules. Hi.
Hi, good to
Welcome
be back.
Back. Yeah, so what did you think of our vegan challenge when you heard about our vegan challenge?
I thought it was a really cool idea. I mean, I think everybody should do this. We are so unconscious about the way we eat.
Yes.
That when you pick a diet, a radical experiment, as you described it, it forces you to think about how much animal material is in your diet.
Yes.
It's very hard to escape.
It forces you to go conscious and step out of denial.
Which is
about
really,
where your food is coming from.
I mean, like that person who said, I never think about the cow.
Yeah.
We need to think about the cow.
Yes.
We need to think about the pig and the chicken and all this. And so I think anything that helps us become more conscious eaters is the first step.
Now, eating meat is such a hot button. Why do you think it is in this country?
We're big meat eaters in this country. We always have been. And so to say that you shouldn't eat meat is a moral challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ethical challenge. And it's a challenge to your tradition. You know, it's an insult to your mother.
So believe me, I'm not saying that. You know, I've had my dealings with meat.
I know you have. Okay. I know.
And all this week, I've been very conscious of letting everybody make the choices that they want to make. This is about thinking more about where your food comes from and being more conscious about it.
Yeah, we're not going to get right with our food. And that has to do with our health. That has to do with the environment until we think about what's going on. Because it's all opaque. You know, you go to the grocery store and the meat doesn't even have bones anymore. It's just shrink-wrapped protoplasm. And you know, kids don't even know that that comes from an animal. And that animal had to be killed in order to put it on your plate.
So you still eat meat, though?
I do. I eat meat. I'm very picky about it. Mm-hmm. I don't eat feedlot meat. I don't eat what I call industrial meat. But I like meat, and I eat it a couple times a week.
Now, isn't it amazing how we have more access than ever before, and yet we're unhealthier than we've ever been?
Yeah, we have access to lots of healthy food, and the American diet is now a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. When you hear the phrase healthcare crisis or healthcare cost crisis, mm-hmm. that is a euphemism for the catastrophe that is the American diet. 75% of our healthcare spending is on chronic diseases linked to diet. That's really what's bankrupting us. And that has to do with the way we're eating. Way too many calories, too much processed food, tons of refined carbohydrates.
And by that, refined carbohydrates, what do you mean?
White flour, things with white flour in it, and sugar.
Yeah.
Soda.
It's all those things that are packaged in the boxes and that you just add water and...
Exactly. It's all that processed food. I mean, that, you know, so our diet has changed more in the last 100 years than in the last 10,000 probably, with the result that it is affecting our health.
Yes.
And also, look, cheap food is a great blessing in many ways, but it's also a curse.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many good reasons to reduce our consumption of meat, especially. But eliminate it, you know, that's a personal choice. I went through the same exercise about meat. Could I justify eating meat or not? I came out in a different place than Kathy did. I came out thinking I could eat meat in this very limited way, mm-hmm. from farmers who were growing it in a way that I could feel good about how the animals lived.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, we have a great many farmers like this now. We have a renaissance of small-scale animal farming. And that we're not feeding them grain and taking that grain away from people who need that food.
Yeah, I have this conversation with Kathy, too. Kathy's coming up. Kathy is the veganist. She is the nation's veganist, I say. And I had a conversation with Kathy about if the chickens, you know the chickens are treated so well. They're living right across the fence from me. Music is played. And every morning, they lay their eggs to music. Is it okay to have that egg?
It's okay to have that egg, absolutely, because it's a natural cycle for the chicken. But what I would say to you, Oprah, is that not everybody has that kind of access to those kind of eggs. Or, you know, humanely raised meat from small farms. It's more expensive and it's harder to find. So most Americans don't have that option. It's
a little
bit harder.
Most Americans don't. I do.
I know.
We'll be right back. The results from our Harpo Vegan Challenge are coming up as we go to break. Here's how one of my supervising producers delivered the news to her family. We'll be right back.
We are going to take a 1 week vegan challenge.
What?
Okay, first, what do you think? Nice.
I kind of like, I don't know. I've never done that before, but it's not really something that I would have thought to do.
What do you think about going vegan?
What does vegan mean?
Okay, good question. So vegan means you
diet.
Eat... It's part of your diet, but it means you eat nothing that comes from animals. You have no milk, no eggs, no cheese, no dairy, and no meat. So, like, for you, you eat 5 egg whites every morning.
Right.
No more eggs.
Right. That's why I'm thinking this may not work.
I like meat. I don't know what my mom's going to feed us. Probably apples every day.
Vegans for 7 days.
All right. We'll try it.
Coming up, an unprecedented look at how meat gets from the farm to your table.
So these cattle are walking to their death now.
Lisa Ling goes inside a slaughterhouse.
This is my only thing.
Okay.
Lots of gas.
What did you eat?
All the junk in the bag.
Yesterday.
I had 2 bowls of cereal, popcorn, 2 of the vegan cookies, the nuts, the dates, and the burger.
Okay. And I
wasn't hungry, but you know.
Yeah. It takes time for your body to get used to fiber. Yeah. So now you're eating a lot more fiber, and that's just going through your body. It's just going to adjust. Okay. So in the meantime...
So he's going through an adjustment period that we all have to...
So are you.
No, I'm not.
The whole building is. Please don't light a match on Harpo.
That's what I said this week. Oh, my gosh. We challenged everybody here at Harpo Studios to go vegan for 1 week. It was not mandatory, of course, but 378 of us signed up. That's pretty good. So according to the USDA, we eat nearly, listen to this, 10 billion animals a year, including 33 million cows. If you eat hamburgers, there's a good chance that they come from the Cargill company. They are the biggest producer of ground beef in the world. They allowed our cameras inside one of their processing plants for a look at how the meat you're eating gets to your table. Before we see this, Michael, you say it's important that we watch this and that we be thoughtful meat eaters.
I think it's great you're doing this, and hats off to Cargill for letting you guys in.
Hats off to you.
It's very rare that you get a glimpse of the...
We were turned down by 20 other people, may I say? Yes.
Well, and I was, too. When I was doing... I did this kind of research for my book, and it's very hard to get access to the kitchen where our food is being prepared. I think you shouldn't eat anywhere you can't... They won't let you see in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Cargill's letting you in, I think, is very, very good thing. And it's also part of this... Frankly, I don't think you should eat meat if you're not willing to look at how it's produced.
Right. So we sent reporter Lisa Ling to show us how our meat is made. A warning to viewers, especially parents with children, this is graphic because it's a slaughterhouse. There we go.
This is Timmerman Feedlot in La Salle, Colorado. There are about 12,000 cattle here for one purpose only.
So the purpose of these cattle that we're looking at now is to get fattened up so that they can go into the food supply.
That is the sole purpose, yes.
How fat will they be when they leave here?
These are heifers, so they'll be about 1,200 pounds when they leave.
Okay, and how long will they stay here?
200 days. We'll put about 3 pounds or a little over 3 pounds on these cattle a day.
How do you do that?
Just with a high concentrate diet of a lot of protein, energy, and mostly that comes from corn and corn byproduct.
It's interesting. They just look straight at us.
Yeah, they're very curious animals.
Dan shows me the cattle that will be sent to slaughter tomorrow.
Obviously, we're in the midst of a blizzard, but these are the cattle that are going over to Cargill tomorrow. So this is their last day at the feedlot. And in a couple days, there'll be steaks.
Yeah, they will be.
So we've been given very rare access into the biggest producer of ground beef on earth. And I've always been pretty unabashed about the fact that I eat meat, but I've never known how meat actually gets from animal to the plate.
So this is my stuff here?
Yep.
Okay. I'm gonna just follow you.
That sounds perfect. Just watch your step.
Okay. So how many cattle are brought in every day?
We bring in 4,500 head a day, typically, and they come in about 140 different truckloads of cattle.
Upon arrival, they're held in these pens for 2 hours, which calms them down before they are sent to slaughter.
So these cattle are about to go in and have the bolt driven through their head, mm-hmm. and then
right,
the rest of the process will begin.
And you notice that they're not vocalizing. You don't hear a lot of mooing here. They're not bellowing. We want to walk them slowly up through the serpentine into the plant.
The cattle walk through these dark, winding corridors, again, designed to keep them calm.
So these cattle are walking to their death now.
They are.
There are undoubtedly animal activists who believe defiantly that this is cruel. How do you respond to that?
I would not ridicule people who believe that you shouldn't eat animals, but I would say that we are committed to doing it right, and that I believe that when animals are handled with dignity and harvested carefully, that's the natural order of things.
There was one part of the process we were not allowed to film, and that was the actual killing of the cattle. But I watched as a 4-inch bolt was shot into each cow's head.
what I just saw, which we can't shoot on camera, is the cattle come up on a conveyor belt, and it's their heads pop out, and a guy called the knocker shoots a bolt into its head and renders it completely lifeless.
The cattle are rendered insensible to pain. That's one of the requirements. So then the cattle are stuck, we call it, and that's when the blood comes out, and that's how they die. They die from the bloodletting. So that death process takes them a minute or two, but they don't feel any sensation at all.
Their bodies are immediately washed to help prevent the spread of diseases like E. coli.
This is where it's going to be a little harder on your eyes. So in here is where they remove the skin from the carcass. And a lot of people do find that difficult to look at, okay? So let me know if you're not dealing with it.
Oh, my God.
Within minutes, they begin to remove the hooves, hide, and head.
What is that?
That's the stomach.
You gotta get this.
He's operating the lift and the saw at the same time.
The carcass is moved to a giant cooler for up to 2 days. It's then inspected and graded.
3 days ago, these carcasses were live animals on a feedlot, and now I'm looking at ribeyes.
I mean, it just smells like raw meat and lots of it.
And it's so precision. Everything is like clockwork. Really quite impressive.
So what are all these carcasses used for other than steak?
We save every piece of the animal that we can. Make beneficial use of all of the resources. You know, when you look at these, you have to have respect for the living creature that they were, and that means making use of everything, letting nothing go to waste.
So how many carcasses go into beef patties?
We don't segregate them by carcass, so whatever carcasses come through the fabrication floor at the same time, then the trim from those carcasses goes into a shared combo, and then that's what's ground up to make the hammer.
So that's the grind.
Yeah.
The meat is packaged and loaded on trucks. So the trucks come to these loading docks and they're loaded up with beef products, and they will soon end up in restaurants and stores near you.
So that is where our meat comes from. Lisa Ling says she's still eating meat after seeing that, but it has given her a new appreciation of where it comes from. Nicole Johnson-Hoffman is the general manager of Cargill's Fort Morgan processing plant. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting us in to see that.
You know, it was a pleasure for us to have Lisa there. We take a lot of pride in the work that we do in that facility, and we think that Americans are much more interested today in learning about where their food comes from, learning about how meat is produced in particular. And for us, it's a positive thing to be able to show exactly what happens, to mm-hmm. demystify the process a little bit, and to show how much our employees really do care about the consumer. Mm-hmm. Our employees remember every day that the meat that they produce is going on tables around the world.
So Lisa was describing that the cows are first hit in the head. Is it like an electrical shock?
No, the bolt renders them completely insensible to pain. They're essentially brain dead at that point. Mm-hmm. So they have no sensation, no consciousness whatsoever. And that's a critical element to respecting that animal's dignity. Mm-hmm. The employee who's actually using that stunning machine is working, he's behind their shoulders. They don't see him before it happens. Mm-hmm. It's critical not to spook them. They are kept quiet on purpose. It's it gives them a peaceful end of life, and it's important for the quality of the product that we produce.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important for people to understand. We never forget these are living creatures. They are due a dignified life. They are due a dignified death. That's really important to us. And anybody who doesn't share that value cannot work at our facility.
It's interesting because we were saying that, you were saying before, that if you're not willing to see where it comes from, you're not willing to think about where it comes from, then...
Then you shouldn't eat it. I mean, really. I mean, it was interesting watching the faces of your audience. It's very disturbing to see. And you should know this is one of the better plants in this mm-hmm. country, mm-hmm. Cleaner than a lot of ones that I've seen. And mm-hmm. So this is as good as it gets in America. This way of slaughtering animals is relatively new. This looked like a Temple Grandin system.
Yeah, our system was designed by Temple.
Than previous ones. And by the way, the vegans deserve some credit for that. It was the animal rights activists like PETA that put the pressure on McDonald's that in turn put the pressure on many of the meat packers to clean up their act on how they slaughter animals.
I think that's an excellent example of how working together, everybody who's interested in the American food system can create better results.
How many employees do you have?
We have about 2,000 employees at our plant in Fort Morgan.
We'll be right back. Thank you for letting us in. Thank you again. Thank you.
Coming up.
Who wants to eat this?
Our first ever vegan challenge gets off to a rough start.
That doesn't taste like real cheese.
You know who's the most excited about this? Is Stedman.
Get up!
Yesterday, you know, we got stuck on the plane and all that. So I said to him, well, you know, I'm missing the vegan meeting. And he was like, there's a vegan meeting? And I said, yeah, we're at Harpo's going vegan, at least for a week. And he goes, well, I would like to do that. Well, what's the plan? So Stedman's on the plan.
Oh, my God,
exciting.
I love that.
You know, and every time a flight attendant would say something, he goes, I don't think it's vegan. I can't have it.
So oh, my God.
He is your
so
best convert.
Great.
Oh my
that's
gosh.
Fantastic.
Okay, what do you have? Oh, here's awesome. A little tray of things.
These are vegan snacks. Try the
this
cheese.
This is the Daya cheese. It's made from tapioca. And they have mozzarella
kind of bread,
and cheddar.
What kind of bread is
pumpernickel.
It? Pumpernickel.
Mm-hmm. This is my smoothie that I make. It's blueberries, banana, some protein, and some non-dairy milk and some frozen broccoli. Because you can get your hit of vegetables and you're not even going to taste it. It just tastes like a little smoothie.
You're right. I don't taste the broccoli.
Mm.
Yeah. It is delicious.
It is delicious.
It's delicious. Is this some of that kashi stuff?
Kashi, yeah.
I love the kashi
super
stuff.
Good. Super
I love
good.
Kashi.
I know.
I love saying kashi. I love eating kashi. Yeah, this is doable. This is a variety, and nobody can complain about this.
Good. Okay. So one other quick thing.
What?
We were thinking that because we started this with the staff, that from now on, Rose should have a vegan option every day. Are you on board with that?
She should.
Okay, and then we were thinking about maybe doing Meatless Mondays.
And I can't.
Since it's a movement.
We should definitely do Meatless Mondays.
Okay. Yeah.
Although people who want to eat meat certainly have the freedom to do that.
Oh, God.
Meatless Mondays! Mondays! And let's try not to get sued for it.
So we're on a Meatless Mondays. You can do that in your house, too, if you choose. Kathy Freston is not a nutritionist, but she swears by a vegan diet. She is the veganist. That means no animals or animal products at all. She has a fascinating new book called Veganist, and she led our one-week Harpo Vegan Challenge, which was pretty exciting. I mean, there are a lot of meat-eating men around here.
I know. It went really well.
Meat-eating, cream-drinking...
I know.
Men around here, yes.
It's true. But everyone was so excited about it, and everyone was so interested in it. And I think that knowing that it can be such a game changer, that it can really affect you in so many ways, in your body, in your spirit, I think so many people were just excited to give it a whirl.
See, I love the title of your book, Veganist, Lose Weight, Get Healthy, Change the World.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were thinking that as a process, that they're thinking about the animals.
Mm-hmm.
They're also thinking about getting healthier. Everybody's pooping more.
I know.
So, Jill, how did it work with your family?
Well, my family had a harder time with it. My father-in-law is a dairy farmer, and he's one of the best men I know. So to, like, give up dairy, it means giving up his livelihood. You know, it affects his livelihood. So my family definitely struggles with that.
Uh-huh.
So my husband did go right back to eggs.
Well, we eat roughly, as I said earlier, 10 billion animals a year, and we've always been told that meat is a great source of protein. So going vegan is a radical idea for many people. So where do you get your protein? That's what everybody wants.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I first got into it. Protein is almost in everything. You can get it in beans and whole grains and legumes, so like black beans. I have black bean burritos and lentil soup, and I have tofu and seitan, which is the wheat protein. And there's a lot of high protein meat alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
But there's tons of protein in beans and legumes and tofu and seitan and tempeh and all that stuff.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Coming up later, you lost 11 pounds in 1 week. Find out how he did that. We'll be right back.
husband?
Her own children, no one knew.
You're in the front yard, and here come the police to arrest you.
In her first TV interview, Oprah sits down with the fugitive mom.
After 20 years, you actually think you've gotten away with it.
The prison break.
So how did you get over that barbed wire fence?
On the run for 32 years, her secret identity.
Had you ever tried to tell your husband the truth?
Hear it all, straight from her.
Did you feel guilty for what you were putting your family through?
Tomorrow.
What we're going to be doing at Harpo is Meatless Mondays, so that people can have choices. But I think just leaning into it, as you say, to do one day a week.
One day a week. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you.
You agree with that, Michael?
I agree. I think Meatless Monday is a terrific idea. And the great thing about this challenge is people discover, oh, I can have a perfectly satisfying meal without meat. There are many Americans who don't think that's possible.
Yeah.
And we all need to learn that it is. One of the concerns I have with going all the way vegan is, first, these great farmers we have in this country who are doing really good work, and they need to be supported. And we need to reform the meat system, not eliminate it. But I also worry about if you get off meat entirely, that you end up on a lot of processed foods.
Absolutely not.
And one of the things I liked about your book is you really warn against that. But I mean, the reason people might actually gain weight on such a diet is they're going over to refined carbohydrates.
Yes, because you're eating a bowl of chips like I did.
No. You can be a junk food vegan. Yeah. You can live on chips and cookies and tater tots.
And these are health problems, too.
Yeah. But even your husband, though, I know Kathy's husband, Tom Freston, very well. He's one of my partners at OWN, and he is veganish.
Veganish. Exactly. So he, at our home, I have a vegan home, so nothing in the kitchen is from an animal. But when he goes out to dinner, he'll have fish or he'll have, you know, eggs or cheese or whatever. But I don't bother him because it's not my business to tell anyone how to eat. Mm-hmm. He lets me be me, and I let him be him, you know, and he leans toward vegan because he's seen too much of the research, and there's so much, you know, really good information about animal protein than, you know, obesity and diabetes and things like that because of all the saturated fat. And so there's enough information that persuades him to want to be veganish anyway, but he does it at his own pace, which I did it too at my own pace.
Maybe that's what I'm going to be, veganish.
Yes. Yeah, that's great.
The other term is...
Because I'm not ready to commit to the whole thing.
I understand.
I'm not ready to commit to the whole thing, but this morning Stedman said no, he wanted to continue, and I go, well, go right ahead, which is tough. But Joe Terry, our director back there.
Yeah, hi.
Joe hit me with this news on the way out. Joe said that he's now converted.
Wow.
Yes, leaning into it.
Really?
Big time.
Really? What does that mean, Joe?
This really agrees with me.
What do you mean agrees with you?
Agrees with me in terms of energy, in terms of the way that I feel. I don't have a food hangover. I have more energy.
How have your bowel movements been, Joe?
Great. Honest to goodness, great.
It's true.
You want to go there? Let's go there. Great.
Happy for you. We'll come back and talk to some other Harpoans. We'll be right back.
Okay. So what's going on?
No, I mean, it's...
She's hiding behind me. That's what's going on. She's so scared she's hiding.
I just don't... Okay. The meatless meat burger yesterday was... difficult.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, people lose weight because who wants to eat this? No, I threw away half my, I'm like starving.
Do you care about where the meat comes from? Honestly,
I buy free range, so I feel like that sort of gives me an exemption.
Be honest.
Okay, I eat a lot of fast food, so.
Just understand something, Veronica, seriously, fast food is addictive. Nothing right now is going to taste good to you if you're used to fast food. You're addicted.
Oh, I know.
You got to go easy on yourself and just say, I am going through something here, and I am not happy. I'm angry.
I'm angry.
Yeah, because someone's threatening your addiction.
Ugh.
It's like if I were speaking to an alcoholic and I'd talk to them about taking away their alcohol, they'd want to punch me in the face.
I sort of want to punch you in the face.
Yes, I get that.
Yeah.
I get
that. But you're too pretty.
Yeah.
Coming up,
Meat substitutes are really delicious. They're okay. Very high in protein.
Kathy's easy alternatives for your family's favorite meals. That's next.
Oh, yeah.
Her boyfriend shot her point blank.
What did you think when you saw your face?
For the first time, hear what he has to say from behind bars. Then, 13 years old, living in squalor, our incredible Where Are They Now follow-ups. The dad who left our viewers gobsmacked.
Is she good enough as she is?
No.
He and his daughter are back, and it was a million-dollar moment. Now, he returns with a whopper of a surprise. Friday.
So we're talking about leaning into being more conscious about where your food comes from. For our first ever Harpo Vegan Challenge, Kathy Freston helped my producer Jill and her daughter Daisy shop for some meat-free staples. Take a look.
Well, let's go check out what Whole Foods has, because if we're going to eat vegan, we're going to need to figure out what to put in our refrigerator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm too.
So tell me what your go-to meals are for the week. Okay, what would you say?
Pizza and spaghetti.
Pizza and spaghetti. Okay. And I would say, like, tacos one night, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Okay, good. So why don't we take each of those meals that you guys love and veganize them?
Great.
Okay.
If I can look like you, I'll do whatever you say.
Please. So should we talk about pizza night?
Yes. Pizza night is pretty much every Friday night in our house.
So this is one of my favorite cheeses right here. It's Daya.
Okay.
It's made from tapioca. And
okay.
You can just sprinkle it on top of a pizza crust with some tomato sauce.
So we have to try that. So I have to say, this is the kind of section I would have walked right by on any other day. Because this whole, like, meat substitute thing is a little...
Meat substitutes are really delicious. They're
okay.
Very high in protein.
I'm willing to try it.
So let me show you this product that I absolutely love. It's called Gardein.
Okay.
And the scallopini is like a chicken breast.
Okay.
Anything you do with chicken, you can do with this.
Okay.
So this is really a great substitute.
I have to get back to you if the meatless thing is working for me. I have to let you know on that.
I think when you make your tacos, when you make your fajitas, things like that, this is the kind of thing you can chop up, just like chicken. And I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
It's really good. And this, I think you're going to really like for your pasta with bolognese sauce. That's one of your go-to meals, you said.
Okay.
And what you do with this is like it's just a vegan sausage.
Okay.
And you're going to just put it in your food processor and pulse it, and it tastes really good.
Kathy says there are vegan alternatives for everything.
If you wanted to work in some non-dairy milks, these are really good. You can get, here's some chocolate milk.
For like chocolate?
And I like to switch around. Sometimes I use almonds, sometimes I use rice, sometimes I use soy. Oh, this is one of my favorite products, Veganaise.
And the key here is that there's no eggs.
No eggs.
Okay.
Nope. Completely vegan.
Okay.
This is so fantastic because by Earth Balance, it tastes exactly like butter. It's made from cold pressed oils, so it's very healthy for you. They have the sticks, and they have the tub.
All right.
And you will not know the difference.
Do that.
Super delicious.
All right. Well, I mean, we have learned so much today, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Bon appetit, you guys.
Thank you.
So Jill went home and did some vegan cooking for her family. Spaghetti with meat substitute sauce and pizza with vegan cheese. Let's see how they liked it.
So our first vegan family meal, pasta and meat sauce. All right, sweetie, what did you think?
Do I be honest?
Yeah.
That was awful.
It's got some veggies and some marinara and some meat. All right, Lukey, do you like it?
No.
Okay, well, I have to take a lot of the blame for that.
Because I
misunderstood something Kathy said, and I put the meat in a blender.
I thought that's what she said.
Well, no, a food processor and you crumble it. I mix that up with puree.
Oh, you pureed it like a goop.
And I put in wrong vegetables, so I was a total disaster. But Kathy did come over and give me some tips that night or the next night and taught me how to make a wonderful meat sauce. and like the vegetables to use and how to do it right. And I have to say it was really good. But I say the overall the best part is, I mean, you saw that giant cart of groceries.
Yes.
The reason I had all that is because when I looked in my fridge the day I told my family and pulled out every single thing that had an animal product in it, my fridge was empty. And I just never thought of it. So the, you know, the good news is I got a lot of staples and I will forever eat differently.
So, you're changed.
I'm definitely
vegan-ish, or where are you?
I'm going to lean into it. It will not be full throttle, but I will lean into it for sure.
Okay. Veronica, we saw you wanting to punch Kathy in the face.
I'm sorry.
But where are you now?
Well, I've completed the challenge, and I'm actually going to stick with it for 21 days. It really worried me when she told me I was addicted, and I started...
To junk food.
To junk food, fast food. Mm-hmm. Everything, and I started feeling symptoms of withdrawal a couple days in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with it. She said I needed 21 days, so.
Okay. So sources tell me, you know how everybody's talking about their poop, but that you used to be a once a weeker, and now?
It is a daily. So I know, my mother, I'm so sorry I'm talking about this. It's a daily occurrence now. And, once a week, and actually prior to this challenge, I had an 8-day episode. So
congratulations.
It was, thank you.
Awesome. Congratulations. We'll be right back.
Up next, the results are in, and Harpo's looking better.
I went from, like, a C cup to a B and a half.
That's next.
One week, 378 Harpo employees, and myself included, the Vegan Challenge. How did we do? Take a look.
I did not cheat. I cooked for my family. They had amazing dishes. There were some short ribs I made that would have maybe slapped your mama. I did not eat them.
I lost like 3.5 pounds on the Vegan Challenge. Can't you tell? My boobs are smaller. I went from like a C cup to a B and a half.
I did have a piece of pizza, so I had a few other things, but now back on track.
I'm very excited because tomorrow morning I can eat an egg, and I'm very, very, very excited.
I don't know that I'm gonna run out and eat a pizza or run out and have a big steak or anything like that, but I will for the rest of my life think about what I'm eating.
If what happened here at Harpo is any indication of what's possible for our viewers to raise their consciousness, make a couple substitutions, I think this show could have an impact.
Wow, here are the group results. 444 pounds lost, 84 pounds gained, 78 quitters, and a record amount, as I said, of toilet paper used. Rich, you lost 11 pounds?
Yeah, 11 as of this morning.
In 1 week?
Yeah.
Why do you think you succeeded?
By the third day, I felt better than I've felt in 10 years.
Really?
Yeah, I would take antacids, like 6 to 8 of them a day.
Really?
I would pop aspirin like candy, migraine headaches, the whole bit. And let's qualify it. I ate horribly. I ate poor foods, unhealthy. Now I don't, and I lost 11 pounds.
And that's, you know, within 1 week, by the way.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. Within 1 week, your weight does start to drop. And within 2 weeks, your blood sugar and your blood pressure are dropping. Within 3 weeks of eating a vegan diet, you are dropping your cholesterol significantly. It's a lot of bang for the buck.
I want Tommy's over there on camera. How'd you do, Tommy?
I lost 5 pounds. I'm going to
stick with it?
Yes, I didn't cheat. I know a lot of people here at Harpo thought I was going to cheat, but I didn't. So I stuck with it, lost 5 pounds. I'm going to continue it till see where I go.
That's great.
And see what happens.
I hate to cast any kind of shadow over this wonderful dietary revival meeting, but...
then don't. Let it be.
But there's nothing evil about meat. There really isn't. And some meat in your diet is really
I totally fine. Agree with you. I'm just saying for me, and we didn't really talk about this, but for me, watching that video, it doesn't sit right mm-hmm. in my soul.
You know, I'm on a path that I'm trying to live to my potential. I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to evolve as a human being. I'm trying to incorporate my values like compassion and empathy and kindness and mercy. And so when I see that, I have to ask myself, can I look into the eyes of an animal and say that your suffering or your pain or your fear is not as important as my appetite?
Yeah. But they don't make them suffer. They're not making them suffer. And that is, I think that is legitimate. And what you're saying is legitimate for you. But Lisa Ling,
right,
who was right there,
yeah,
and was a meat eater before she went to Cargill, is still a meat eater afterwards.
And yes. Here's one more thing, is that Temple Grandin, who designed that very conscious slaughterhouse, doesn't design bird slaughterhouses. And over 9 of the 10 billion animals that are killed in this country alone are chickens and turkeys.
Right.
So it's different.
But there are farms in this country, and more of them all the time, where animals lead very happy lives and have one bad day. And we need more of those, too.
So tell me this, Michael. How much meat do you think we should be eating?
I wouldn't say. I mean, I think the important words you said are "for me." And it's different for different people. I eat meat a couple times a week. And I'm very happy doing it that way. And we have many vegetarian meals. I happen to have a teenage son who doesn't think it's dinner if an animal wasn't killed in the making of it. You know, I just think we have to put it in its place. It's kind of overwhelming the American diet, and it's having enormous, devastating effects on the environment, the way we're growing meat, and on the animals, and on the workers in the factories, too. The whole system is really brutal, and we have to disconnect ourselves from it. But it's very important to reform that system, not just turn our backs on it.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back. For hooking up Harpo with natural and delicious foods. For over 25 years, Kashi has used only real ingredients because they believe natural food is tasty and good for you. Thanks, Kashi. A lot of great information today. Nicole has something to say.
Well, I just wanted to say what's important for us is to be here with you and to be talking with Michael and with Kathy about these issues, because I think that together we'll come up with better solutions for the American food system.
Yeah, we were saying as Nicole came up, this may be the first time the veganist and Cargill have been together. I think
and
that's good.
And I said we love vegans too.
Yeah.
Okay. Great information today, everybody. If nothing else, we want you to be more conscious about where your food comes from. You have to decide what's right for you and for your family. As Kathy says, just a little lean in to better eating can make a major difference in all areas of your life. You would agree, right, Michael?
Absolutely.
Kathy's book, Veganist, is in stores now. Michael Pollan's Food Rules should be a staple in your home also, and he's got a new one coming out in November. And thank you, Cargill, again, for allowing us to see something many of us have never seen before. We really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure.
Nicole, thank you so much. Bye, everybody.